Imagine with just three shifts of your conversation game, and you could increase your presence and conversation mastery by at least 90%. That's not fantasy, empty air, or a promise only for those that can already talk. In fact, if you can talk, then you probably need to hear this the most. Hi, and welcome to a new episode from The Social Skills Doctor with me, Richard Gray, where we'll be covering the three golden elements of a conversation. And unless you actively desire to excommunicate yourself from society and live off-grid, then there can be no doubt about the benefits of being able to communicate at a good level with your fellow humans. The higher the level of communication that you can operate at, the more abundant will be the opportunities that fall to you in the form of better relationships, career advancement, and financial security. There really is everything to play for, and time is not waiting around. So let's begin this journey today. Conversations are not just about talking. They're an art form that can enhance both your personal and professional life. But wait, if it's an art form, don't you have to possess at least some natural talent for it? Sure you do, and you do. As a baby, did you not have a natural talent for persuading adults to feed you, entertain you, and love you? There's no question you could and can communicate, but if that talent got suppressed or starved of development on your journey through childhood, that doesn't mean it doesn't still exist within you. Many people mistake talking for conversing, and while talking involves expressing thoughts and sharing information, conversing goes to the next level with active engagement. The real difference between the two are where your attention lies. You might think of this as like being a scale of 1 to 10. A person occupying number 1 on this scale will be someone who talks with little awareness of whether the other person is engaged and wants to hear their latest monologue. When they are not speaking, their attention is mostly in their own head, waiting to get out their next anecdote or amazing insight. A person at 10 on the scale while talking will be aware of the other person's body language, whether they're interested and following along, or whether they have entered waiting mode and want to start speaking themselves. When the other person is speaking, our 10 will have their attention fully on what they are saying, and not in their own heads. Now, in order to reawaken your natural gift for conversing and elevating yourself to a higher level conversationalist, all you need do is increase your numbers on the three key elements that make up a good conversationalist. The first is active listening, and you've probably heard me talk about this before. That's because of how important it is. This is number one key element and tip for becoming a great conversationalist. And it means giving your full attention to the speaker without interruption, or thinking about what you will say next. That's so important. Yet because there can be so much noise and thought distraction in our own heads, many people cannot stay focused long enough to actively listen. This means if you can master this key element, your conversation game will leapfrog most people around you. If you have any doubts about this, let's consider it in terms of a metaphor. If a conversation were a game of tennis, then being trapped in your own head, thinking about your response instead of listening, would be like playing blindfolded. However, when you can play using active listening, you see the ball coming, from which angle, and at what velocity. The point of this metaphor is to illustrate that active listening equips you with more information to help you craft your own successful return. But that is only half the story. What if you're playing with active listening, but the other person isn't? It can get frustrating, right? The other person not really listening, being distracted, or they cannot stop themselves talking before you have finished. It can make you feel disrespected and even invisible. Alas, you cannot really point this out, at least not without putting the other person on the defensive and creating another barrier. So what do? Control your emotions and don't be tempted to descend to a lower communication level to match them. Set an example and eventually they will raise themselves to your level. Number two, questions, questions, questions. Don't take this to mean that you should be interrogating the other person with a flood of questions. What I'm saying in my own delightfully abstract way is that there are three different types of question. The first is the closed question that needs only one or two words to answer. It's an icebreaker that can be used to test the waters with another person and determine if they're open to talking more. You can use their body language, their tone of voice, and the words they choose to reach your own conclusions on whether they are or not. Second is the open question. This needs a fuller response, such as giving some information or thoughts in order to answer the question. Some will not want to answer, but may be too polite to say so. In which case, you may get a politician-style response that doesn't really answer the question. Finally, the third is the story question. This should get the longest response of all because to answer this question, they need to tell a story. An example of this would be if you ask somebody to tell you about how something began, such as a career path, a hobby, playing a musical instrument, etc. If you've nailed your active listening, the right type of question to ask, and in relation to what, should automatically reveal itself. For instance, the other person tells you they enjoy painting. You can now choose to go with an open question and find out what type of painting, or a story question to find out how they got into painting in the first place. Of course, questions go both ways, and make no mistake, there is just as much, if not more, art in answering questions as there is in asking. Consider how you currently answer a question with a following example. The question is a straightforward, "Where are you from?" How would you answer? You've probably already identified that this is a closed question that a one-word reply will satisfy. But what can the other person do with that answer if they're not familiar with your place? Unless they push you for further information, then the line of conversation is as closed as the question itself. Now, what if you answered the question with some extra kindling information, such as a few facts about the place? Is your place well known for something? Are there any famous people from there? You get the point. By adding some extra info to your answer, you become more interesting and you make it a lot easier for the other person to find their response. Imagine that. Talking to you is now becoming easy, and people like easy. Okay, the third key element is self-congruence. What does this mean exactly? Well, in our previous conversation example, we considered how to respond to a simple question like, "Where are you from?" The act of adding extra information to your response gave the other person more options in how to keep the topic going. But wait, you cannot know in advance what questions might get thrown at you, right? So how can you always respond with extra information? This is where self-congruence comes in. Nearly any casual conversation will revolve around 10 common topics. So if you know yourself well in these 10 topic areas, then it becomes easy to add an extra sprinkle of colour to any answer. What form might this kindling information take? It was easy with places, because all we need to know is a few facts about our hometown or country if you're abroad. But we can expand kindling information to include likes and dislikes, opinions and beliefs, as well as straight up facts. Let's put it to the test with another example in the topic category of TV and movies. What's your favourite movie? If you have shyness or anxiety, it's entirely possible that in the moment when you're asked, you may not even be able to think of any movies, let alone which is your favourite. So this conversational area may never come to life if you are not self-congruent or can't include any kindling to fan the flames of conversation to life. But again, how would you respond if you knew yourself and you could answer? If you were to ask me my favourite movie, I might tell you it's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or Highlander, or The Shawshank Redemption. Then I could tell you a few facts about that movie, such as who's in it, who sung the movie theme song, or who wrote the movie itself. Another common conversation topic is food and drink. And all you have to do is take a mental journey through the topic and ask yourself questions such as what your favourite food and drinks are, your favourite restaurant, what your speciality dish is for cooking if you have one, where you learned to make that dish, etc. Conversations are like roads. One has potholes, cracks and road hogs. The other has awkward silences, disagreements and people who want all the attention. Like a rom-com, a conversation has three hurdles to overcome. Number one, how to initiate it. Number two, how to connect and avoid awkward silences. And number three, how to end the conversation. Initiating a conversation requires three things: confidence, a reason, and an opening. Now, confidence is a self-belief in the knowledge you have qualities that others will be interested in. Then you need a reason or a goal for the conversation. And finally, an opening comment or question in order to break that ice. Connecting with the other person requires being on the same level with them. If you want to know more about this, take a quick listen to last week's podcast episode. Develop your social skills with conversation super strategies. Ending a conversation without appearing rude is a move that most people feel anxious about. So, like initiating, you also need a measure of confidence to end it as well. For example, at a networking event, you can simply say, "Well, I've enjoyed speaking with you. I'm going to introduce myself to a few more people before the end of the interval." You have now given a very valid reason to end the conversation. A final point on endings. Whatever you do, don't do what a lot of social skills books suggest and use the excuse that you need to go to the loo. This is not the confident thing to say. And as far as exit strategies go, it's about as weak as two-ply toilet paper. So in conclusion, we began by adding element number one, active listening, to our conversation game. The overriding benefit of mastering this is to shift your focal point out from your own head and onto the other person. Now you can find your responses in their words instead of from your own uncompliant mind. Next, we added the questioning element to our game, both in finding the right questions to ask through active listening and also responding in a way that removes the conversational workload from the other person. If you're getting active listening right, then the right questions to ask will naturally present themselves to you. Finally, we added element 3, self-congruence, which is all about knowing yourself and being confident in your own thoughts and your own opinions and beliefs. Thanks for listening. And if you want to get deeper with anything you've heard in this episode or other episodes, please check out the website, thesocialskillsdoctor.com. And I'll be looking forward to your company again next week. Bye for now.